spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
They are your God, Israel.
The eternal light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our story today is the last in a series of original parables, fantasies, and folk tales by Morton Wishenbrand. The play is entitled Jacob's Ladder and features Juan O. Hernandez as Jacob, Bryna Rayburn as Bessie, and House Jameson as the narrator.
More people understood that a good many modern improvements have been installed in heaven, more people would seem to be more anxious to go there. What would you say if I told you that about 25 years ago, a man called Jacob Schneider was being considered for admission to heaven? What would you say if I told you that Jacob Schneider was a poor farmer who barely eked out a living on one cow and five hens, three of them in different layers? What would you say, finally, if I told you that this same Jacob Schneider lived on the outskirts of Louisville? Aha, that surprised you, didn't it? Well, don't be so surprised. Even people living inside Louisville have a chance to go to heaven. Although the odds are better if you live on the outskirts. In any case, my knowledge of the story commenced when the traffic department received a call.
Traffic department. Jacob who? Spell the name. S-C-H-N-E-I-D-E-R. Schneider. I've got it. Right.
You sent for me?
I want a full report on an imminent candidate named Jacob Schneider. Place outskirts of Louisville.
What's the medical prognosis?
I don't know. Turn on the cardioscope.
What are the directions?
United States of America.
Right.
State of Kentucky.
State of Kentucky?
Jefferson County. That's up towards the Indiana border.
Jefferson County. Right.
Careful now. South of Louisville. Between Louisville and Oakdale. A dirt road for about 3 miles. A barn. One cow. Hen house. Five layers. Three of them very unsatisfactory. A farmhouse. A man stretched out on a sofa. He's reading.
Here it comes. Listen. I'd say it sounds like an Austin Flint murder.
Yeah, might be. My own feeling is that it's nothing more than less than a mitral stenosis.
Rather imminent, don't you think?
No question of it. Now, shut it off. I'll go to the files and bring back a complete report. I don't want a summary of Jacob Schneider. I want details. All right, now, let's not lose any time.
That's when I came in. I was in charge of the files. In a way, it was an unusual case, so I think I'd better begin with the time Jacob Schneider came as an immigrant to America. It was during the administration of President McKinley. May he rest in peace. Jacob Schneider had come off the boat, a small man with bony wrists and a pale scholar's face. He carried a few old clothes, a few old books. For a while, he spent his time studying the books. Then he couldn't bear the hunger. He got a job.
Sorry, Jacob. That's the second garment you've spoiled. Get your wages from the bookkeeper.
He tried another job. This one lasted a week.
It's a dollar and a half. Don't come back.
Even a scholar must live. So Jacob Schneider tried still another job.
You sweep the saloon twice a day. Then you empty the spittoons and sprinkle the sawdust, wipe the table. And don't let me catch you hanging around the free lunch counter.
He could bear that for only 2 days. His fourth job was driving a junk wagon for a junk dealer.
I told you, offer him 15 cents for it. I don't care what you thought it was worth. I said offer 15 cents. 15 cents, not 85 cents. Get down off the wagon. You're fired.
After that, he drifted. Sometimes he walked, sometimes he rode. The clothes he wore got shabbier. He put cardboard in the soles of his shoes. And he carried his books. He was always hungry. In a little synagogue in Louisville, he met Bessie's father. They talked for a while. Then Jacob Schneider nodded his head and agreed. Hunger makes a man do many things.
Jacob, this is my daughter, Bessie. Bessie, this is Jacob Schneider.
I hope you'll like me, Bessie.
Bessie, he's talking to you.
It's all right. She doesn't have to answer.
Sure. But she'll talk. Wait until after you're married.
Bessie, I'm not a young man. I'm a widower. I had a wife in Austria. She died. I think you ought to know.
Bessie, aren't you going to say anything?
It's too bad his wife died.
You don't have to talk like that the first time he comes to see you. This is your house, Bessie. You might say something to him. Bessie, say something to him.
I'm 35 years old. I'm homely.
Go ahead. Tell him the rest. Tell him you've got a tongue that can scrape the skin off a man's back.
I don't have to tell him. Are you going to marry me?
Yes, Bessie.
Because you're hungry? Because you can't find work? Because a farm goes with me?
Yes, Bessie. Because I'm hungry. Because a farm goes with you.
Anyhow, you're not a liar. Smile, Father. Looks like you've finally gotten rid of me. It's all in the wrist. Strong fingers and good wrists. Try it again, Jacob.
I'm tired, Bessie. I'll try to milk the cow tomorrow, some other time.
You'll try now.
I'm not used to the fields and the barn, Bessie. I want to rest.
You'll milk the cow first, Jacob.
We won't quarrel about it. I'll try it again.
The wrist, the wrist. These aren't the pages of the Talmud. More wrist, you fool.
Bessie, not knowing how to milk a cow, that isn't everything. That doesn't make me a fool.
No?
No, Bessie.
You married me, didn't you? You're a fool.
Bessie, where shall I put this wood?
In the shed where... No, don't put it in the shed. Take it back. It's no good. Now you can pick it up, Jacob.
Since we were married, you haven't said one civil word to me.
Since we were married, I haven't deserved a civil word. You're an incompetent fumbler. Pick up the wood.
Not until you tell me why.
I asked for kindling, not for logs.
I sawed and split kindling until the blisters burst. What more do you want?
Kindling. This is too big. It won't fit in the stove.
You're glad, aren't you? It pleases you, Bessie, when I make a mistake, doesn't it?
Take it out and bring back proper kindling.
No, I've had enough.
The kindling is needed for the stove.
I told you I've had enough.
All right, Jacob, I'll do it myself.
Bessie, I'm sick of you.
Good enough. A bargain can be made. A bargain can be unmade. You can lie down. I'll take care of the kindling.
Never mind, Bessie. Stay in the kitchen. I'll take care of the wood. A bargain is a bargain. Yes.
That's a nasty wound your husband's got.
Just finish the bandage, Doctor. That's all we want.
And that's still a nasty tongue you've got, Bessie.
Congratulations, Doctor. You're still observant.
Jacob, how'd you get the cut?
He was splitting kindling. He was tired. The axe slipped.
Most accidents happen when people are tired.
That's right. Jacob was tired when he met me.
There are some things you don't say in front of other people, Bessie.
A doctor isn't other people. A doctor is part of the family furniture.
Bessie, some things are only between a husband and his wife.
You're perfectly right. Doctor, turn your back so I can give Jacob the money to pay you.
Bessie, what did they do to you? What terrible thing did they do to you to make you hate yourself so much?
That's the way it was between them. It's all written down in the file. Even a scholar with bony wrists and a pale face, even a man like Jacob Schneider can be stubborn. He remained with Bessie on the farm. He didn't leave. And he began to learn. He even began to learn how to milk a cow without being afraid of the cow.
The rhythm is all wrong. It's one, two, one, two.
I didn't know you were in the barn.
Don't stop. We need the milk for our customers.
You might say you're glad I came back and tried again.
What for?
I'm not a weakling. If I were a weakling, I wouldn't have come back.
If you were a weakling, I wouldn't have married you.
You had no choice, Bessie.
That's right, Jacob. But I still wouldn't have married you. Even women like me marry a man for something. Finish the milking, Jacob. Then carry the pail to the milk shed. I'll show you how the separator works. And don't take too long.
Yes, Bessie.
It is recorded that Jacob smiled. He finished the milking and brought her the pail. He stood in the field under the sun, the scholar whose face was no longer so pale, and he cut down the hay with a scythe. And while he worked, he thought it through. He thought it all the way through. After supper, he said what was on his mind.
You hate me because you are beholden to me.
I'm beholden to no one. Everything I have has been bought and paid for.
That's why, Bessie.
I'm not a scholar. Talk simply. Say what you mean.
Suppose I were a rich man with many servants, and you came to my house. And suppose I prepared your bed with my own hand, because a servant would have done it for my pay, and I wanted to show that I did it for friendship.
I don't understand you.
The good things can't be paid for, Bessie. A hand clasp that's paid for isn't the clasp of a hand. Some things are sold, some things are given. It's the things that are given that you want. That's why you're so bitter.
Is that what you get out of your book?
It's one of the things.
That's why you're a fool.
You haven't denied what I said.
No, I haven't.
Whatever else you do to yourself, you don't lie to yourself.
What do you want to say?
I've said it, Bessie. No one's going to give a thing to you until you yourself start to give.
It's a complicated record. Every man's life is a complicated record. Learning is a cloak to hide ignorance. Laughter is a mask for tears. Hardness is the shield of the frustrated and those like Bessie who are too easily bruised by life. It takes a long time to understand this. It took a long time for Bessie. A cattle dealer drove a herd of cattle on the road past the farm.
Dealer? Oh, dealer.
Oh, good afternoon.
Those cattle, they look worn.
They should be. I've driven them since before daybreak.
They look thirsty. Wait here. I'll get some buckets out now and help you water them.
Well, there's a good deal of work.
Wait here. I'll fetch the buckets.
It's written down. While Bessie stood and watched, Jacob fetched the buckets and pumped the water. Bessie just stood and watched. Jacob watered the cattle. The old cows and the heifers and the calves drank their fill. When the cattle dealer brought a coin from his pocket...
I'm much obliged. Oh, this is for you, mister.
Oh, no. No, thanks.
I won't pay more. That's the regular price.
I didn't do it for you or for your money. They were thirsty.
You talk peculiar.
They're creatures of God.
Huh? Anything you say.
Besides, it was water. Air and water. Those aren't things to pay for. Not yet.
Good afternoon, mister.
Good afternoon.
We're poor people. He offered you money.
It wasn't very much, Bessie.
What difference is that?
It was only 25 cents.
It was that much? He had no right to refuse it.
The labor was mine, Bessie. I did you no injury.
More of your books.
Yes, Bessie. And you're making another mistake. You're bitter because I gave to a stranger. That's a mistake, Bessie. Giving is not for one, nor for a few, nor a few more. Giving is for all.
That you, Jacob?
Yes, Mr. Green. Everything all right?
Fine. We'll take only 2 quarts from now on instead of the usual 3.
I'll tell Bessie. She keeps the accounts.
Tell her he must have gone away, or maybe he died or something.
Who, Mr. Green?
That's just it. I really don't know myself, but you tell Bessie.
Well, does she know the man you're talking about?
Don't even know if it was a man. But you just say Mr. Green says 2 quarts will be enough instead of 3 from now on. I see you've left 2 bottles today instead of the 3.
That's what you said, wasn't it?
Sure.
Mr. Green, I haven't been very observant. I've just realized that you've always taken 3 bottles of milk, but you never returned 3 bottles. Only 2. We're always short of bottles.
Didn't Bessie tell you?
No.
Strange woman.
Mr. Green, I'm listening.
I thought you knew. Some time back, 3 or 4 months, Bessie and me, we had us a fight. I ordered 2 quarts of milk. I found only 1 quart each time. She said she left 2 and she wanted me to pay for 2.
That was about the time I was married?
I guess so. Then I found out someone was stealing 1 quart of milk each time. I was going to wait for him with my shotgun. She wouldn't let me.
Bessie?
Sure. She said people don't steal milk unless they're desperate. That's why she's been leaving an extra 1 quart all this time. 2 quarts for me, 1 quart for whoever it is who needs it.
Hmm. She never said a word.
Strange woman. Never could figure Bessie out.
No. And I thought... I've been preaching to her. Mr. Green, I'm a fool. Here's Mr. Green's money.
Did you count it? People don't mean to cheat you of a penny, but sometimes mistakes happen.
I didn't count it, Bessie.
2, 4, 6, 8, 10. A nickel makes 15, 17, 19, 21.
Don't count the money, Bessie.
I know it. It's what we live on.
No, it's not what we live on. I've been speaking to Mr. Green.
You stand and talk while the milk sours in the sun.
Nothing soured. I just talked to Mr. Green.
Fine. 2 men talking in the noonday while the women work.
Don't be embarrassed. Whoever it was, Bessie... You didn't shame him by giving him publicly. It was very considerate. Happy is the one who considereth the poor. It doesn't say give, it says consider.
I can't abide men who stand around talking when there's livestock to be fed and a barn to be cleaned and kindling to be cut.
Bessie, you know something?
Oh, stop behaving like a child. If you have a question to ask, ask it.
I was thinking to myself, if you didn't pull your hair straight back, if you... parted it on the side. Sure. I think you'd look pretty.
Jacob,
You don't have to say anything. I know.
That was all.
But that was the true beginning of the marriage of Jacob and Bessie Schneider. The other things are all set down here in detail. The rest, well, when people are happy together, there's not much to talk about. They never had children. The medical report says they married too late for it. And now the medical report says that Jacob Schneider is an imminent candidate for heaven. One thing about the cardioscope, it never exaggerates.
It could be an Austin Flint murmur.
No, it's out of the question. It's a mitral stenosis. We'd better determine from the record whether or not he comes to heaven or goes to hell.
From the record, I'd say there's no doubt about Bessie. It's heaven for her, no two opinions about her. But there are some things about Jacob that disturb me.
Such as?
He was trained to goodness and to charity. It was the Torah and the Talmud that he studied. It was what his father taught him. She was good out of her own goodness. The greater virtue is hers.
I don't know. We can't penalize learning and study. I think I'll go down and talk to Jacob Schneider myself.
Is that you, Bessie?
No, Bessie's in the kitchen.
Well, who is it?
A friend. Your doctor asked me to step in as a consultant.
It's that bad?
You can't complain.
Well, I'm not complaining. I just want to know.
Every man has his time, Jacob. This is your time.
All right. Where am I going?
There's heaven and there's hell.
What do the souls do in heaven?
They draw near to the divine presence and they study good works.
And in hell?
There the wicked make retribution for their sins.
Who pities them in hell?
No one, Jacob. Hell is a place where there is no pity. That's why it's hell. Well, where do you wish to go?
I wish to go to hell.
Jacob Schneider, why?
Because I will pity them. Even in hell, there should be at least one being to pity the souls in torment.
Jacob Schneider, come with me.
It was the only answer, and the soul of Jacob Schneider was brought to heaven. If there is pity now in hell, it is because of him and because of his love for Bessie and her redemption from bitterness. I know what this story proves. It means that even if you live in Louisville, you have as good a chance of going to heaven as a man who lives in Des Moines, or Chicago, or Albany, or any other city. Of course, it's only a prejudice on my part, but sometimes I wonder if the odds aren't higher if you live in the suburbs.
If you would like a free copy of the script you have just heard, write to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we present a talk by Rabbi Julius J. Nodell of The Temple, Cleveland, Ohio. Speaking from Cleveland, Rabbi Nodell.
It was only yesterday that the scriptural lesson read, according to tradition, in every Jewish house of worship, began with chapter 28 in the book of Genesis, verse 10. Which tells of Jacob's dream. Jacob had been forced to flee from the house of his father Isaac because Esau, his twin brother, had threatened to kill him. There was Jacob in the desert, alone at night, surrounded by peril, facing an unknown future. The young lad was sorely troubled. What did he do? He took a stone and placed it under his head for a pillow. And that night, with a hard stone for a resting place, a wonderful vision came to him. Of a ladder that reached to the throne of God, and angels walking to and fro between heaven and earth upon it. A stone, mind you, a hard, rough stone, was Jacob's pillow. yet it nurtured one of the grandest dreams ever beheld by man, a ladder to God. Jacob, in other words, converted his fear and sorrow into a thing of supernal beauty. He beheld God in his tears. This is not merely a biblical story written 2,500 years ago on a parchment, for upon the scroll of history, the experiences of the people of Israel have taught the same lesson, that men can transmute suffering into grace and character. Throughout the ages, Israel has been forced to flee the hates of their brethren. Israel has lived through many painful nights, and yet it has always managed to create out of the hard stone of its suffering a Beth-El, a house of God, wherever its wandering feet have rested. All men today, like Jacob of ancient days, have borne heavy burdens during the past critical years, and facing the future, are burdened with mental unrest and awesome challenges. Shall we stalk and fret and complain, or shall we too take the hard stone of our problems and build upon it a ladder to God? Evil is not something to accept, but something to work out. Through adversity, man is not trapped, he is tested. And in the end, there is hope. It is faith versus fate. It is the assertion that man is captain of his ship and master of his fate. This is the Jewish idea. It is what we do with the mechanics of life that render it meaning. We add love to a house, and it becomes a home. We add civic righteousness to a city, and it becomes a community. We add truth to a pile of bricks and stone, and it becomes a place of worship. Above all, we add spirit, soul, imagination to our tears, and they become a thing of loveliness and of beauty. A Jacob's ladder linking us with God, with peace. Jacob in ancient times heard the promise, "Fear not, the Lord is with thee." This blessing is for all men today, but only for those who listen.
Thank you, Rabbi Nodelk. The fantasy Jacob's Ladder was written for The Eternal Light by Morton Wishengrad. The music was composed by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Caitiff. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical music. Featured as Jacob was Juano Hernandez, Bryna Rayburn as Bessie, and House Jameson as the narrator. The entire production was under the direction of Frank Papp. This program is a presentation of the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations, and comes to you each week at the same time under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. If you would like a free copy of today's script, write to the Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York, 27, New York. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.